When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. You've seen her on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You've seen her on a million other things.
The show, A Million Other Things.
The Million Other Things on NBC. That's the competitive show to the new show, A Million Little Pieces.
On the same network.
Yeah.
They have.
They're really stupid for doing that. Chelsea Peretti is here. Chelsea, clap, clap, clap. Thank you for being here.
Can you do a fake studio audience?
Yeah. They're all here. But they're being quiet because they're nervous around.
Right. Well, it's good to have a leather chair.
I know. It's for noise. Just don't move.
There's no roof and a leather chair.
Okay. You're blowing up my spot right now?
No, this is a great studio.
We're getting this at a studio. What? We're in an office. Chelsea and I recently did a movie called Friendsgiving with some very funny people. Dion Cole. Aisha Tyler. Jane Seymour, who's probably the funniest stand-up comic I've ever seen in my life.
Can you imagine?
Jane Seymour ripping she has a great 20 minutes on her jewelry line. It's the funniest thing. She's like, you design it and they don't know what to do. Jane Seymour, who else was on that? Who else was in it with us? There was very funny people. Malin Ackerman.
The star.
Malin Ackerman and Kat Dennings and Malin's new husband. I don't know Jack's
last
name.
That's actually, he changed his name to that.
Malin's new husband, Jack?
Yeah.
Such a long name. Can I see your ID, sir? I'm Malin's new husband, Jack. And I don't know his last name. He was good.
He used to be a Chippendale.
Was he?
Yeah. Like he was playing with his nipples a lot to get them hard. And he said
he had his shirt off the whole movie. That was the joke.
He would literally fluff his own nipples and said that he used to be a exotic dancer.
No, but he wasn't really though.
He
had
a
great body. He had such a nice. You know when guys who are really skinny have the fuck gutters. Yeah, what are those called? They're like still like
the V. Say that fuck gutters is more like if you're trash.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, I call them fuck gutters. He was shirtless the whole movie, and it was directed and written by Nicole Paone, who is super funny, super cool, and everybody on it was down because I think it wasn't easy. We were all in a house, in one house, grouped together in a house the whole shoot.
With rotting food always.
Stinky, rotty food.
I still regret digging in with my fingers into some of that salad.
Did you eat it?
Yeah.
You ate some of that?
Just like in the heat of the moment, you know, and you're like, you know what? Fuck it. It'll be funny. And then you're like, wait, I think everyone was touching this and putting it back.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem with comedy is that you're like, I'm willing to do this thing to get the laugh. But at the same time, you go home sad because you're
yourself.
Like, no, that was not, that yeah. was gross. Without giving anything away, in the movie, you play a... it's like a shaman.
Well, I already posted pictures of my character on Instagram.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's like.
It's like a guru.
Self-described shaman, I think. Yeah she's like, very hippie-ish. They're going to be like, why are you guys talking about the movie? We did not ask you to go and like promote the film.
We're blowing up the film.
Yeah.
But at one scene, I have to talk about this. I couldn't keep it together. I usually am good about not breaking. But you were saying. A prayer. They were going around and people who pray, and you bless the peas and the carrots, baby carrots. And I lost my shit because you were like, bless these little baby carrots, these little tiny, tiny baby carrots. I couldn't hold it together.
That wound up being really fun.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun. Well, because what? I mean, let's be honest. So many times you do things.
And they're not that fun.
Yeah. It turns out a lot of stuff you think is going to be great. And you go into it being like, this could be really cool.
I know.
And halfway through, you're like, I just want to go home.
You know what? I have to say, I'm so passionate about comedy. But it truly is true. Like, there's been stuff where I do it and I'm like, this was a squandering of talent. Like, people just squander funny people and like ask them to do not funny stuff and force them away from their instincts and make them do stuff that's not funny. It's like,
what's the biggest example of that? Do you have a personal one or?
I mean, I can't say them.
Yeah, but there's got to be one you can dump on.
God. Well, the only thing that's like, no, I can't even think of anything.
I'll give you a fun one.
You go.
This is not me talking shit. I had the pleasure of working with.
This already sounds like you're talking shit.
No, but it's funny because it's funny. The Disaster Artist, the movie Disaster Artist, you know?
Yeah.
So I was in that, quote unquote.
Okay.
But like my name is on the credits. I'm in like 7 scenes.
Yeah.
I have no lines.
What are you doing?
I don't know. They cut me out of the whole movie.
What were you supposed to be doing?
I was supposed to be one of the actors in the movie, The Room. I was around the whole thing. I was around a whole ton. Oh, but wow. Like they just cut, nothing I had landed.
Whoa. So do you feel like it was your fault?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Nothing funny, obviously. I just think my character was so weird. And he's like this in the movie, The Room. He's the strawberry guy that gets a blowjob. Do you remember the movie at all?
I don't remember it very well. That's part of the problem.
It's funny. Listen, I was so delighted to be able to do the project with those guys because they're awesome. Franco and Seth and Evan. But it was just weird because when I saw the movie, I was like,
they didn't tell you because no one ever tells
you. They don't tell you.
It's weird when you get kids. I've heard this before. When you get cut from a movie, people don't tell you. So you just learn it.
This is coming from someone who's never been cut out of anything. Chelsea Peretti,
well,
you guys bragging.
Done anything.
Bragging. I've heard from losers who get cut all the time.
No, I've barely done anything.
Do you think you've barely done anything because you're picky?
I'm 58 and I'm just getting started.
You are a good looking 58.
Thank you.
But you don't do stuff as much because why? Honestly.
Well, there's a combination of things. Like, I think one is that genuine passion for comedy. And I also always feel like I could write something. I'd rather write something of my own and it's a little slower.
Yeah.
I'm on page 70 of my script, by the way.
How many pages total do you think it's going to be? Like 300,
400? No. but I'd rather write my own thing. And then the other part of it is that I just have a lot of anxieties.
About doing the projects?
Just anything.
just anxiety in general?
Just about doing anything.
When I first asked you to do this, you initially were like, mm-mm.
Did
you?
I?
No, I'm no. saying, I'm asking you mentally.
No, because I had so much fun doing Friendsgiving with you. We had never really hung out before that.
No.
Have we ever even met? I don't remember.
We had met through the grapevine, kind of like how people in comedy meet. I mean, I feel like there's a million people I know, but we don't really know each other.
Right.
And that's kind of how it was.
But like, would you have, off of reputation alone, would you have been like, she's annoying or something?
No. If what I knew of you before I got to actually physically meet you was that you were funny and nice and kind of in your own world. Like you're not really out and about and you're not a sceney person in the comedy world. So like no one's going to catch you hanging at Largo on a Thursday.
Well, I used to.
Yeah, but that's fine. But now in this present time, I'm not talking about years and years ago.
I do love Largo though.
It's a great place.
If I were to hang.
That's where you would hang.
Well, I also used to hang at the Comedy Store, but it's like a lot of weird people get really close to you there. And that started stressing me out.
Well, what the Comedy Store has given, I mean, for me being like a regular there, I love it. But what it does is it's opened the doors to like, everyone has access to anybody.
Right.
It's a little much.
There was this little period where I was going there. I can't remember. And this guy was like full on, had a video camera with a light and was trying to make videos with me after I got off stage. And I'm just kind of like,
mm-mm. Gross.
Oh, God.
You were sleep upset?
I was like, no. Oh, man. What do I do here? I don't know. I'm just like on foot.
You just say go away? Go away.
I think I might have did something. Said hi.
Hi.
To the camera.
You're really sweet about it. Hi. Don't do this.
But I don't know. I mean, that's where I'm always on the precipice of like, the thing I do love the most about stand-up is the the camaraderie.
Yeah.
I like hanging out after stand up. God, my voice. You know, do you ever listen to Stern? I haven't in a while.
I listen to him every day.
Do you?
No, seriously.
Well, you know how he's always talking about voices like that.
You don't have that.
I do.
You just did it on purpose.
No, but before that, when I was talking, I was like,
I don't think, I think it sounded, I think you didn't do it.
I can't help it. Like, if I try to make my voice really melodious, it's like, hi. Wait, I guess I can kind of do it. What if I'm going crazy?
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, you know, I love stand up and it's a great scene. It almost
that sounds just, so fake.
It feels like it just takes a lot of effort to do.
That sounds really fake.
But I feel like him and Robin are like, it's lazy to not try to make your voice sound more easy.
Yeah, but he's but he also hates this stuff. You know, did you listen to this whole thing where he was talking shit on podcasts?
No.
Seriously? You should Google it. It's
like
hilarious.
He's well within his right. He's probably right about it.
Well, no, he just no, I think he was going after I feel like it, Ari Shaffir had something to do with it. And he mentioned him on his show, which was crazy, being like, some jag off Ari Shaffir is, you know, saying podcast of the future. I just think he is antiquated.
Careful now. I think Stern fans.
I think he doesn't understand that this is the future. It's fine if you don't like this.
Yeah.
But for him to be like, there's no future in podcasts, it's like, you're insane. That's an insane idea.
Also, the way that Satellite was like, people were like, what? Satellite?
Yeah,
why?
Now he's on it.
Right.
Now he owns it.
Does he talk about Trump yet? I don't know why I'm talking to you about Stern on your podcast.
We're going
to
do the rest of the show on Howard Stern. No, but let me transition back to what we were almost saying.
Okay, fine.
When you change your voice there,
yeah.
Do you do voiceover stuff or no?
I do, and I love it.
Do you change your voice for that, or they want you to be you all the time?
They frequently want me to be me.
Yeah, but isn't that so nice?
I'll do it. Yeah, for sure. I love it.
Because I go in.
I also do like doing silly voices.
But I go in and they're like, your voice, no, just
really?
Anybody else. Yeah.
So what's your go-to?
Hey! No, you know what? I got an audition one time and they were like,
hey.
No, they go, we really like what you did. Is there any way you could sound like TJ Miller? I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, he's like,
they were like,
always,
can you imitate TJ Miller?
I guess not as much lately, but like everything I did, they'd be like, TJ was just here. And you know, he was just so loose with
He's just
so
loose.
I was like, well, I'm not.
Loose guy.
I'm stressed and tense. Is that going to work for your format?
Could you be a little more TJ? If you could
like,
be more
he
TJ.
He was just a complete loose cannon. I was like,
he came
wow.
in here, he punched an executive. He peed on my desk.
We loved it.
We loved it. He killed. No, I've tried to do voiceover. I think I've done, I'm not kidding, 1,000 auditions. I wish I went back and logged.
Wow, for VO stuff?
Never landed anything.
Wow.
I'm batting nothing. I've never landed one.
I don't like doing VO auditions. I kind of feel like you should sort of know what I
Yeah, you should know what you want. Well, I do it from my home, just on your phone at home. That's what they do. They always like, can you just record it? And send
I know,
it
but then it's like, I'm sitting in a closet and my baby's crying in the background. It's like, I just feel like, don't you know what my voice is sort of like? I mean, that's arrogant, you know?
No, but that's the same thing about auditions in general. When you go out for something and they're like, we love Chelsea.
You know what's cool though? I had an audition for something that I heard, you know, the thin walls where you can hear. This is such like an industry podcast.
Well, this is an industry pod, dude. We're calling it industry pod. We're changing the name.
But you could hear what the other people auditioning for the role were doing like very well. Like
yeah.
It wasn't at all like a lot of people don't know this, but like when you audition, you can hear the person. Usually.
Always.
And it's very stressful. It's like, for me, the worst headspace to be in is listening to other people. That's why I don't like stand up sometimes. It's like I'm listening to the act before me, and then I go up, I'm like, oh, but who am I in comparison?
Who am I? When you listen to the anxiety that I get listening to another actor read the audition, it's the same way I was when I was a kid when parents would fight in a room. You could kind of hear what's happening.
Yeah.
It gives me anxiety. I don't know what's going
horrible.
On. That's what it feels like.
But so this particular one, I heard like the person doing in my least favorite thing about mediocre comedy actors, people who would do like a serviceable job and they get work, but they're not genuinely very funny. Like they don't like,
go ahead and name some people.
Let me throw out a list of names and let's see if we can get them banned.
Who do you think genuinely is the worst at that? There's someone that you can call out that's very famous, that gets a lot of work that isn't funny.
No, I'm so political now.
It'll never hurt your career.
Everything could.
That's not true. That's not true.
No, but let me just finish my thought and then we'll see if someone comes to mind. But I don't know. But the quintessential to me mediocre comedy acting is when you read the line exactly how I would imagine it on the page.
Right.
So it's like, whoa, how'd you get in here? Is the line. It's like, whoa, how'd you get in here?
Yeah.
And it's just like every single line is like, it's a bad example because that line isn't that funny.
Yeah, but that would be written in something. Whoa, but, how'd you get in here?
Yeah.
That would be written.
And it's like someone who's doing their own thing is like, whoa, like, you know, or whatever. They're doing something different. I don't know. This is a bad.
No, but you're saying you like the fact if someone tries something different.
You want to be surprised. Like,
even if it's bad,
same
even
with
if it
jokes,
fails.
You don't want to see where the punchline is. You want to be surprised by the punchline. The element of surprise is like crucial to comedy.
Right.
So if someone's doing it exactly how the writer imagined it, it probably isn't that funny.
Yeah. But
those people probably book work because the writers are like, that's just how I imagined it.
Perfect. But don't you think sometimes if the comedy writing on something isn't strong, you don't have a choice?
Oh, yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah, that's the hardest.
So if you do something where it's not that funny.
You're trying to put an original stamp on something where it's just absolutely, you can't.
Here, how did you get in here? Hey, how did you get in here? All right. Yeah. And then you go, hey, how did you get in here? Yeah.
You hit hey, I hit you. But you know what? That's because we're different.
We're different.
We're different.
Peeps.
We take
different
it different.
People. Can I give you this gift? I want you to open it up.
Okay. Because I want to drink this sparkling water, but
you can
it
drink
feels
it.
Like gulping. And
you're
going to
burp? You can burp.
No.
This is, I got Chelsea a gift. That's the tissue paper.
This is real.
I haven't done
this
yet.
This is funny that this store is where I got one of the first little baby clothes for my son.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, I can't, you know, you're so worried that the pregnancy's not going to work out. And so I was like, I didn't let myself, I think, till I was in my second trimester, buy him a little.
Second trimester? I think you're good.
I bought him a little. Listen.
So I got him a little shirt there and it says...
Call my agent. Oh my God.
I have a little baby shirt that says call my agent and I got him a Gumby because I feel like Gumby is, I think that's pretty imperative for youth to have
a stretchy thing. Read because this is ages 3+.
I asked her and she said it doesn't
it's
matter.
Fine.
She said there's no loose parts to swallow.
This is how I respond to a gift. See, people don't read.
I did my due diligence.
Thank you for this gift.
Yeah, the woman at the store said, I just figured the call my agent shirt is so cheesy and stupid that I loved it. Call my agent. And I also wanted to get a Sharpie and pen the agency names below it.
Oh
like
my
cross
God.
Out
he
CAA.
He doesn't have an agent.
He does. He's at UTA now. I heard he's at William Morris's hip pocketing your kid already. If your kid wanted to get in the business, would you be into it or no?
No.
So smart. Smart woman.
I mean, would I try to block him with everything I have? It depends what he was saying about it. But I mean, no, I would not want him.
I say the same thing. I hope to God my kid. But then I also think.
It'd be different though. If we lived in like.
Omaha.
Not LA. Yeah. And he was like, I want to do theater. Or he was like, I want to perform. You know, it'd be different. Living in LA and being in the business and then like having your child. It just feels like. I already think LA is so gross with all the like networking people do like on a daily basis.
It's
to
crazy.
Involve my son in it just seems disgusting to me.
Like the kids that are at those kid auditions, it makes me so sad. And the mom is like, say thank you. And the kids are like, thank you. And she's like, now get in the goddamn car. Let's go. We have to go to another. It's like you're shuffling around this poor little child around town.
Well,
it's
how
really
about
weird.
Too? It's like, I feel like people do birthday parties as networking opportunities.
Sure they do. Here?
Yeah.
100%.
I'm just like, I don't want to participate.
Mm-mm. No, keep them sheltered.
I already don't really want to go to any birthday parties. Adults or children.
Me neither. Weddings either. I'm out of those things.
Yeah,
I think I did them. Shouldn't you have a number that you hit if you did?
Like, you said, I think I did.
I think I did them all. I've wanted to do 15 weddings and I'm good. I think that's it for me. I think I've seen every kind of
I
wedding.
Them.
I did them all.
I did them.
My best friends have all been married.
Okay.
So at this point, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
When someone's like, hey, can you come to my wedding? I'm like, you know.
Yeah. I used to have a joke about my dad's third wedding because.
Your dad got married three times?
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking like, maybe you'll have to go to your friend's second marriages.
Yeah, I will. I will at some
but
point.
It's just, it was just reminding me of that joke about my dad, but it's just like. The feel of a second wedding, it's just such a funny thing to think about.
It is. Again.
My goodness.
Oh,
love.
My God.
Forever. You're in love forever.
This one's forever. Yeah. This is, there's no doubt Sheila is forever. Yeah. You love her. Where did you guys meet? Where did you meet? Oh, she worked in your office.
She was my divorce lawyer.
Oh, she was your, oh, okay. That's fantastic. Wow. Well, I guess this will work out for sure. Mm. All my friends are married once. No one I know has been married again, but I am in that age range. I'm 35. I think this is when like it could start happening and people get divorced and get married
actually,
again.
Actually, if all your friends are married, that's pretty young.
My best friends.
Where are they
I guess.
All from?
Chicago. All my Chicago people out here. Nobody's married out
now,
here.
Now, when you were in Chicago, did you do improv?
Mm-mm. I started everything pretty much in LA. I did theater in college, and I did a couple of sketch things in college, but it wasn't a big thing back. I mean, it just wasn't available for me. And then when I moved to LA is when I started. People are like, oh, starting in LA is so dumb. I was like, if I move back to Chicago, I'll never leave. Cause I wouldn't, I know me. Like I'd be so close to family and it would have just been so hard to leave for me.
Do you see your family a lot?
I go home probably like 8 times a year. Once a month.
I was not I'm expecting
home.
Eight.
I'm home.
Is that a lie or that's true?
I went home 8 times this year.
That's crazy.
But here's why. If I'm traveling for stand-up and I'm near Chicago,
yeah,
I'll stop by.
That's still crazy.
I love my family. I miss sweet. Those humans so much.
That's sweet. Would any of them come here?
Yeah. Well, my parents.
If you had a kid, they probably...
Then they wouldn't probably move here for chunks at a time. Yeah, for sure. Especially for the winter in Chicago. They keep saying that.
Yeah.
They're like, you have a kid.
That would be great.
Well, that's their... They want to do that. They want to do summer in Chicago, winter here. But I go home just because I feel like I mean, this is a very personal thing, but I sometimes kind of lose myself here and I feel gross. Yeah. And I'm like, if I don't go home, I'm going to like maybe go mentally off the deep end. I feel like I'm going to stab someone at Target. Like that woman that stabbed people at Target.
Oh, yeah.
I got her.
A kitchen knife.
I got her.
Listen, it's so funny you mentioned that because I was very impacted by that story.
Were you?
Yeah. It just was such a crazy at the time. Now this is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like
that's
then
so
it was
up.
Like such a weird story. Like, huh, that's weird. Someone attacked someone in public. Now it's like every day.
Yep.
Just like
every day fucked up shit happens.
What's happening?
I know, but that hit me hard. Well, first of all, we used to live like right around the corner in West Hollywood here, but from that Target. But I just...
That means nothing.
I used to live near it.
Yeah,
I just thought I could have been in that Target
no,
that day.
No, you couldn't have.
You don't think it would happen?
The chances were next.
What if I went to Jersey Mike's and then went up to Target, then went to Ulta?
And you were the one person she stabbed.
I mean, no,
being
what if
redhead,
I saw this?
It's more likely.
What was that? That's so mean.
Came at your hair, dude.
Okay, I'll come.
That's the kind of original comedy that I...
Let me come at your hair.
You wouldn't think about that.
Ooh, I have brown hair. I'm normal.
You know what's wrong with
stand
my hair,
stand out,
actually?
Dude. Stand out.
If you want to talk hair for a section.
Let's talk hair for a chunk.
It's so dry. I don't know. Listen, can you hear this?
Yeah, they can. These mics are good. They'll pick that right up. What's all that white stuff falling out?
There is not. For the record, he's just being funny.
You're clearing jokes. For the record, that was a joke.
For the
there
record.
There is no gross stuff.
Fake news.
Fake news. Oh. Number one guy. Number one guy. Chels.
Yes.
Chels. For the remainder of the year, are you doing anything else?
No.
Job-wise, or you're just chilling? Are you hanging?
I have a couple jobs I'm debating on.
Tell us.
No, I can't. But like, I will say they both involve stand-up-ish type scenarios.
That's one thing I asked you off air that I'll ask you on air. Would you do another special? Another stand-up special?
I mean, I would. Yeah, I think I probably will. But the question is...
I guess my real question is like, how adamant are you to try to get it done? Like, are you really trying to do that? Or is it kind of like, meh, we'll see
no,
when it happens?
Not right now. I'm
okay.
Not. But... It's the kind of thing I do have a lot of material.
Yeah, you're an endless pit of material. That's what we call you on the street. They go, Chelsea, endless pit of material, Peretti.
I do, though. And I feel like I could... I feel like... maybe this is like crazy to say, but I feel like
say
I could
it.
Do a bunch of stand-up for a couple months and I feel like I could shoot a special.
I don't think it's crazy to say. I mean, I don't know if it'll be fine-tuned at that point,
yeah.
But it'll still be good stuff.
But you know what's annoying with stand-up? I mean, aside so many things are, but it's like...
Let's talk about them.
The more fine-tuned, you sometimes ride that wave to the other side where it's like the jokes don't hit anymore and you're kind of over them. Do you know what I mean?
Are you kidding me?
You
it happens
hammer
to me
a
constantly.
Joke through and it's like, oh, you're one that always gets big laughs, suddenly just doesn't. And you're like, what?
But you did that because of the way you... I've learned like the way I present a joke when it stops being funny, because they know that you don't find it funny anymore.
Maybe.
I think people have a weird sense of that. Like, I think audiences are smarter than we give them credit for. And sometimes if I do a joke that's been doing so well for so many,
like, here, I'll just give these pigs this.
You slobs. And I'll just throw it on your face, the slop on your face.
Here you go.
Here you
but
go.
Then what about when you feel that way and then they do laugh and you're like, you
idiots. I think it's because they can tell. They can sense that you're like, I've done this before. It's almost a little bit of autopilot, even when you're really selling a joke. I just went through that. I just killed a couple of jokes that I was bummed about because I really liked them, but then I was like, I overused them, I think.
Have you ever had a joke where it's like, it does really well, and then you realize, like, I don't know, months in, you're like, why does this do well? What does this joke even mean? I don't even understand it.
I've multiple. Are you kidding me? As dumb as I'm a moron. Sometimes I say stuff, people laugh, and I go, I don't even know why that's funny.
It's just weird. Like, I forget what I'm thinking of, but it's like,
have you ever had someone tell you a joke of yours and kind of define it? And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that's why you thought it was funny. That's kind of what you're saying.
Well, also, there'll be jokes I try that I totally forget about. Like, Eric Andre told me about some joke, and he's like, yeah, this joke is that you used to do is so funny, and I completely have forgotten about it, and then I put it in my special.
I think jokes that take shape over time sometimes kill themselves. I think some of my favorite jokes that I've ever told or even ever seen of other people's, they were small and fresh and quick, and they almost disappeared. Like, my favorite stuff is stuff that people will never do again.
I know. Well, that's the thing that makes stand-up sometimes feel so meaningless to me. Like, if I watch...
So negative. I mean, that's why all this stuff doesn't matter and the world's going to end.
Seriously, though, it is, maybe.
No, it is.
Between the aliens and who knows? Not aliens as in immigrants, aliens as in that probe that Harvard...
Chelsea Peretti, again, the caravan of people coming into this country.
But...
I hope aliens from space come down. Wouldn't that be so tight?
This was the first time I saw, like, an alien story in the news that I was like, maybe they could save us.
Help!
Like, I wasn't like, what are they going to do to us? I was like, they're going to disrupt our lives. I'm like, please... Take us.
That's so funny. For the first time, we're not scared. We're so anxious for them to come.
Yeah. Come. Hurry, please.
That's why Elon Musk set that car up into space. It was like, hey, more attention. Really, guys, please. This would be cool. Put us in the, get us out of the thing. If there was an option to go live in space, if they were like, hey man, it only costs this much money. You can actually go live in a space and we found a way to do it. Would you go do it? If they're like, you can get off Earth with your family.
Things would have to get a little worse for me to be ready to leave.
Okay, so it's not that bad then, right now. Is that what you're saying?
The problem is it would get bad so fast and then you couldn't.
Then you couldn't get there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is kind of like you have to decide today. What I'm offering you today.
Right.
Is outside. We could take you to space.
I need to see like a brochure of
you want proof that it works.
Space hotel. I just want to see the accommodations.
No, we have not a space hotel. We have a space house. We built you
I
a space
see
house.
The house.
It's a replica of your house. Mm. We got. We put it in space. It's on Mars.
Who are you? Who's we?
None of your business.
That's gonna be important.
Let me tell you something. You don't have a choice. You're either you don't have a choice.
The whole point. I have a choice.
You don't have a choice over. Deciding yes or no based on who I am.
What kind of hotels do you stay in on the road? Like, do you go for, I'm going to treat myself.
Four. Sometimes I go for the Five Seasons.
Seriously? Do you stay at the Four Seasons?
No. I mean, most of the cities I go to don't even have a nice hotel. I think I like to stay at like Andaz, Hyatt branch hotels. Boutique hotels are fun. If I can get a boutique hotel, I'll do that.
Yeah.
There's a cool website named Mr. and Mrs. Smith.com.
I know it.
Yeah. Okay.
I know everything.
Chelsea.
I've researched.
Chelsea. That has cool hotels on it. I'll find stuff on that. Yeah. What I don't like to stay in is like a really sad old Marriott. Like that bums me out.
Oh God. It's horrible.
Like I'd rather stay in like a Motel 6 or like a Red Roof Inn. I mean, I don't, but I would rather stay in that than an old sad Marriott for some reason, because sad Marriotts have this like 9,000 businessmen have come through depressingly and sat like slovenly eating food in the bed that you're in.
Yes.
And it just depresses me.
So dark.
Yeah. So I try boutique hotels or Airbnb is chill.
What is the thing with boutique hotels? Because I always prefer that too. And I think it's that.
Well, because it's not as used, first of all. They just don't have as much traffic.
Yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. like a Marriott or like a corporate hotel is like a, just like a bus. That's all it is. It's just like
sleeping on a bus.
It's sleeping on a bus. And a boutique hotel is like a boutique hotel. It's French. And a boutique hotel. And when you go to a boutique hotel, it's just more like intimate. You just feel like it's more mom and poppy. I don't know. Like bed and breakfasts are my favorite things on earth. When, you know, we went to.
But then you have to interact with the.
Not true. Not true. And also it depends on where you are. We were in Italy. We went to a couple of bed and breakfasts and it was so nice because they were just.
Well, that's totally different.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you know, that's where you do bed and breakfast. You don't do it like here. I'm not going to be in Cincinnati at a bed and breakfast.
Well, that's what I thought you were saying.
No. I mean, I have tried that a few times.
I thought you were saying.
In New York, I just sleep on the train. I sleep
New
on
New York is a tough one, I think.
I just hotels. Sleep on the one and I just go up and down all day long. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. It's actually, they got some of the greatest seats on that subway. Really nice for stretching out. There's no bar in the middle of them. Chicago has like bars. You can't. They don't want homeless people sleeping. Is that your phone?
No.
It's mine?
Yeah, your own.
That's
phone.
Just so rude.
I thought it was like a timer, like we're done.
Oh, you want to be done? I thought I wanted to get out of here. Hey, so you might be working on some other stuff coming at the end of the year, right? That could be fun or no. We just can't talk about
it. Well, you know, I'm really focused on writing my movie.
Yeah, it's for you.
And I'm loving it.
All right, so listen, I want to ask you the partial premise of this podcast, even though I haven't really gotten to it that much with some of my guests because the conversation meandered, was youthful stories of when you may or may not have been intoxicated. And you got in trouble.
So you're going to keep that up for the whole run of your podcast?
It's never going to happen, but I'm trying.
Okay. So I got drunk a lot as a youth.
When did you first start drinking?
The first time I was drunk was my freshman year of high school.
And for people to know, you don't have any booze anymore. No, no, no.
No.
No, no, no. But when you were 15?
How old are you freshman year?
I think it's 15.
Yeah, I drank a 40 of Old English.
I'm going to give you the pound, dude. Hell yeah, dude. What's up?
So lame.
It is such a gross. It's such a disgusting, so disgusting.
But you know what? It was like the 90s. It was like in every song. And
yeah, you're just following the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I cried. I thought someone was being mean to me and I cried.
You got wasted and cried?
Yeah. That was sign number one that alcohol wasn't going to be
my long-term friend.
But yeah. And it was like I had just switched from public school to private school and it was like I didn't like it and I didn't feel comfortable.
Why did your mom and dad make you switch?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably, but I guess it was for the best because the school was definitely very challenging. But
why do you mean the academics of it or the culture?
Yeah, the academics.
Were you cool in high school?
I mean, in the context of that school, it's hard to really assign that.
Why?
Because it was just such a small academic school. It was like,
was it everybody there was fighting to get into a good college?
Yeah. And it was like hardcore studying. I mean,
where did you go to college?
I went to Barnard in New York.
Wow. Man, are we on two different levels, dude? You're on the roof, dude. I'm in the basement. I went to Arizona State University.
Oh, that's supposed to be good. Just kidding.
I'm so kidding. Stupid. What a bad joke, dude. I can make the joke, okay?
What did you major in? Mixology. Were you on that show?
You asshole.
Were you?
I was.
That's so funny that I majored in mixology. My brain right then.
I was actually good on that show. Okay, Chelsea, I was funny.
What was your character in a sentence?
I was the cheapest Zach Galifianakis they could buy.
Like you were weird and absurd.
Weird, sloppy dude. Mm. They literally were like Galifianakis. The guys that wrote that show wrote The Hangover.
Interesting.
Lucas Amore. Yeah. And it was directed by oh my God, Larry Charles. Do you know who Larry Charles is? You did Borat?
Larry David.
Larry Charles. Who's also Larry David's good friend.
Great.
Did Curb, did Borat.
Got it.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
That show could have been so cool. And then ABC was like, it's about love. And we were like, mm-mm. It's a comedy about people in New York.
Yeah.
But they sold it as love. The mouse, man. ABC, the mouse. Yeah. I went to school for journalism. English was my minor. I was actually summa cum laude up in college player. I was a good in college. High school, bad, bad, bad. because I didn't like high school. I hated going to high school. Classes were so stupid. And this sounds arrogant. I felt like I was just above it. I was like, I'm better than all these classes. I would get B's and not even show up. They were just stupid and not fun and not engaging. But college was awesome because I got to do things I wanted to do.
So were you wanting to be a journalist?
I just wanted to get into some, I wanted to learn about broadcasting. I wanted to learn about TV and radio and film. And
so really, like, journalism was just a cover for acting.
I wanted to be an actor. I never wanted to be an actor per se. I wanted to be a comedian and maybe a comedic actor. But like, I genuinely, from the bottom of my honest heart, I was like, I'll never make it as an actor. I was like, I'm not a good looking dude and I'm not, I don't have that thing. I didn't tell my parents I wanted to be an actor till I got a TV show. My mom and dad were like, what?
What did they think you were doing?
Stand up, just stand up.
They were fine with that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What did they didn't have a lot of expectations out of me. I was never like a driven kid to be like, you know, I really want to go to college for this, or I really want to get into this thing. I just liked having a good time and creating shit. So my parents have always been like, go ahead, go do it. Are you falling asleep?
No,
Chelsea just fell asleep.
So tired.
Why?
Yesterday and today.
Why? Family stuff.
I haven't been sleeping that well.
How many hours a night do you sleep?
Late. The last couple of nights, probably 6 hours.
That's good.
5 or 6.
I sleep 6 hours a night.
Why?
I don't know. I don't need that much.
I like to get 8, but for the last
year. You're so average, dude.
By the last year, I've had like 6 or 7 most times.
I feel like that's good for a young parent. Don't you think?
I'll take the young.
No, I mean the baby's young. You're old, dude.
I'll take it.
What's the first thing? The first thing you do first thing in the morning when you wake up from your 6 hours of measly sleep?
Well, I check what time it is. I look at the light and try to figure out what time it is, and then I look at my phone.
You guess first.
I put my phone in airplane mode when I sleep because the Wi-Fi is supposed to like
zap your brain,
radiate you or something.
But so. It's cool during the day.
It's great during the day. So I put the Wi-Fi. I mean, I put the airplane mode off.
Yeah.
Check are you out a, some news?
Are you a breakfast person?
Well, I get my son up and then usually I make him toast.
Oh, does he love toast?
Ezekiel bread.
Oh, Ezekiel bread.
Yeah, very like hearty, grainy toast.
Do you go to Erewhon?
No, it's too far.
I put
nut butter on there, sunflower seed butter.
Cute, cute.
Today I put a couple of raisins and cinnamon on there.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Or I'll do avocado toast or eggs.
You're living that LA life.
Yeah.
I'm a breakfast dude. I like full breakfast.
Where do you
eggs,
go? Where's
bacon.
Good in LA?
Actually, Salt's Cure on Santa Monica is probably one of my favorite places in the world. Salt's,
what do you get?
They do griddle cakes, oatmeal griddle cakes, and it's just like, come on.
They're crazy.
They're so good.
But do you need a little salt with that, or do you just get the pancakes?
They're oatmeal griddle cakes, not pancakes. Totally different. Because they're like mushy. They're not like cooked. It's not like a fluffy pancake. It's like oatmeal cake. Have you ever had oatmeal grill top? A griddle cake. You've never had that?
No.
I'm going to take you. It's for real. You'll love it. It's not, it's way healthier than a pancake, and I think they're way better. But they put blueberries in there, and then I get eggs, and then I get farm fresh sausage, and then I get an arugula salad on the side, and then a big cup of coffee because I like my coffee.
Why you get an arugula salad?
I like arugula salad. I like some green in the morning. Huh. If I'm not smoking a green, dude, I'm eating it, doggy. Woo, 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 woo. Nah, so, people that smoke weed first thing in the morning scare me. You need it to get through the day?
Wake and bake.
Wake and bakey, doggy. Why don't you just, you know, start the day and get slowly get into it? I think it's weird when someone's like, gotta have my weed first thing.
But weed is slowly getting into it.
No, I think that's that. I think you're going from 0 to 100 to get stoned the first. Your body's not even like adjusting to the day yet.
Well, obviously people use weed to self-medicate.
You're telling me you smoke weed every morning? Is that what this is a pitch for?
I wish. Listen, I wish. I'm struggling. No, I'm kidding. I was never a daily weed smoker.
Neither.
For me, the reaction to it is pretty extreme. Like everyone,
when you would get high, you would get real high.
Yeah, like with anything, my body is very responsive. Like, so people be like, you're still high? And they think I'm like full of it. You know what I mean? But I'm like, no, I am.
Like 6 hours later.
I don't know. But just like, it would always be like my friends had already come down. They're like, they think I'm crazy. But any drug affects me a lot.
Yeah.
And
what drug affected you the worst?
Like I didn't enjoy it?
Yeah, like it fucked with you the worst. Like either it made you the most sick or the or way too high and you're like, that I did not have a fun trip. Did you ever do acid?
You know, I never had success with acid. I tried it a couple times.
Didn't work?
Something always went wrong.
You were just
it was on a candy and I feel like I didn't get enough or this or that. I was thinking about ecstasy because it's just the come down from ecstasy is pretty bad. But then
the next day is real bad off ecstasy.
Yeah, but
mushrooms?
I never had like a bad trip or anything. I loved mushrooms.
Me too. Yeah. I guess not a bad trip. I just mean like, you know, like I guess ecstasy probably was it for me. Unfortunately, I didn't have as much fun. You people are like, it's so pleasurable.
Are you serious?
Didn't love it. Didn't love it. Did not love it.
It's so funny.
Well, you know why? I'm not a touchy feely person and I'm not, I think I'm emotionally disconnected to stuff like that, to physical.
But even when you were on it, you felt that way? Because I used to use it, obviously, you know this, to couples therapy in like the 70s.
Yeah.
For shut down motherfuckers like you.
MDMA. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm trying my best. I'm working out my problems.
Okay. As long as you're trying. As long as you're still chipping away at it.
This is such motherly advice.
Mm-hmm.
You chipping away?
Mm-hmm.
I'm breaking down slowly, Mom. It sounds great. Call me next Monday. I love you. What? I love you. Bye. Okay, Mom. That's how the conversations go with my mom.
I go, I love you. And my dad goes, take care.
Take care. That's why you're in comedy. Take care, Chels. Be well.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you get along? Did you get along with any of your dad's wives?
Well, one was my mother.
She was chill.
One was my stepmother for much of my youth. Listen, they all have their charms.
And you don't have to say that. I didn't like anybody my dad got with. Like everyone that my dad married other than my mom or dated for a long time. Not a fan.
Mm. Well,
but I'm blowing up my own spot. I know you don't want to do that. You're much more political than I am. I don't care.
Well, it's like, is it even political? It's like, I don't know.
You just don't want to burn family bridge.
It's people.
Yeah, they're just people.
Man.
Unless they ruined a portion of your life.
They're still just people.
Just people. They'll ruin you, but they're just people.
No, I think that's the thing is like from when I started stand-up and all these people were like, specifically guys, were just like, nothing's offensive and
well things definitely can be offensive.
Yeah, well, but when I started that was the climate in New York of stand-up. It was like all these people be like, nothing's offensive, it's just not funny if it's offensive, you know, it's like, and all this stuff. And so I feel like I've gone on this crazy journey to where now I'm like, no, people's feelings matter. And also though I like funny shit,
right?
And it's like, but some there, it's hard because I always use this example. I once posted about like how selfies suck or something, like
how selfies suck.
Yeah, yeah, selfies. Like if you look at everyone's social media account, I mean, I do it too. It's just like selfies. I feel like are so, they're just kind of a bummer. And some girl, I mean, I got so much pushback for saying I didn't like a joke I had about selfies on Twitter. And then all these people were like, I do selfies. And they give me self-esteem and they give me, and it's me representing myself and framing myself. And
okay.
I was like, oh my God, it's like, and maybe they're right, but like, it's just like, it is like this weird time where I'm like, I don't even know myself how to navigate how I feel about all these different things because.
But you don't have to. That's taking on a lot of responsibility. No. I think part of what you said was true. And part of what that they had said was true. I don't think anything is off limits in comedy, but you can offend people. You just have to decide whether or not you give a shit. And if it's funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly would not stop myself from doing jokes about selfies.
But that's what I mean. Like, you can't concern yourself with what everyone feels.
It was very shocking to me that people felt so passionately about them. Because I just thought, oh, everyone feels how I feel, which is it's this weird vain. You feel bad about yourself and you try to take the best picture you can of yourself and you put it online and people
tell
like,
me I'm
you're
okay.
You're pretty. And yeah. You're like, oh, thank God.
Do people comment negatively on some of your stuff?
Yes.
I feel like you don't have a negative fan base.
No, not like some of you guys cultivate.
I get people that like me, but they still say the meanest shit to me.
Because they think that's what you want. And I feel like I got to say, be careful with that. Because I've seen a lot of people cultivate that kind of fan base. And it's like, it's kind of poisonous.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. I obviously don't engage in that stuff. I don't engage.
I said be careful.
Okay. I don't engage.
So be careful.
Okay.
Like Jeselnik posted this thing.
Well, dude, talk about a guy that fishes for negativity.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he tried to say a joke about me with Brooklyn Nine-Nine where he was like, I heard she got fired. And he like reposted like press, you know. And then all his fans were like, good, because she's ugly and she's not funny and she's not fat. Like all this shit. I was reading it and I was just like, oh my God, like he's my friend. We both think each other are funny. You don't even get that he's making a joke right now, trying to be like, trying to say I got fired. And I'm just like, and yet that's the fan base that he has. And it's like, I don't know. I just think like, I think it's a scary thing to be scared of your own fans. That's like a weird, that means something's going on in your psyche.
Well, but
I mean, I don't know if he's scared of his fans, but for me, I wouldn't want that fan base. I'd be scared of them because they're so like, so much like rage.
Well, they're so critical. But also, he walks into that fire. I tweeted the other day, there was a couple that died in a helicopter accident.
Yeah.
Right, literally after they left their wedding.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And I retweeted the news story and I just wrote, go ahead, Anthony Jeselnik. I just added him because I was like, you know it's coming. And literally 10 seconds later, he tweeted about
it. What did he say?
I love a wedding with a heart out. So here's the thing, right? I knew he was going to, and then people attacked me
for setting him.
Well, he was going to do it anyway.
Right.
But my joke was almost shitting on him because I was like, this is his territory. Of course, he's going to make light of this sad tragedy.
Right.
But that's the world we live in comedy. And people.
Well, also, here's the thing that I will say about that situation. It's like, why there is something about trauma headlines like that. Like these headlines are fucking made for us to be like,
they're sensationalism. Yeah.
Like, oh, they just got married and then they fucking died. It's like there's
are you orgasming? Is that what that is? You dead couple.
But don't you think there's something very like, I don't know what the word libidinous. There's something very
well, it's
like,
media sets. It's essential. It's
like, oh yeah, this fucking headline. It's so fucked
juicy.
Up. It's so fucking trendy.
It's like TMZ.
Like regular news is like 4chan. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, of course, what is anyone supposed to do with that headline? Okay, so this beautiful couple just got married and then they're dead in a flight. And what, I didn't know them, so I don't feel for them or their family beyond like, that's fucking
that's
so
sad.
And then your heart doesn't know what to do with it, you know? And it's just like, there is like, you know, on Twitter, every time like there's a shooting, it's like, here comes the slideshow of the victims. It's like, what am I doing? I'm paging through 40 people I've never met that just got gunned down.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just such a weird, the whole thing is just like, what is everyone's intentions?
Okay. You know? But don't you feel like, well, okay, this is crazy because this brought this up.
I just met you. And this is crazy,
but here's my number. Call me baby. That was Call Me Baby by Chelsea Pretty. We'll be right back on KWBBM, WXQV.
And you don't book VO? That's incredible.
This is nuts. This means this is so outdated. I was hitting this new point in comedy in my brain where I was starting to just back up a little bit and go, I don't know what's making me happy anymore in comedy. And I landed flying back from New York in LA and the kid from Fast and Furious died. I'm drawing such a bad blank. Paul Walker. Mm-hmm. And I landed and I saw the headline and I swear to God, this is crazy. It never hit me like this when a celebrity or someone famous died. I cried at the airport because I was like, all these.
Did you just have a rough gig?
I had a tough day. I had a tough night.
I had a tough night at
Stand Up New York. No, I cried at the fucking airport bathroom because comics were shitting all. They were like, must have been too fast, too fierce. You know, people made all these cheap jokes. And I don't know why. Maybe something happened with my family that week. Something hit me so hard that I was like, that's a fucking real dude.
Right.
That was a real dude.
Yeah.
It fucked my head. I was like, that was a guy. His mom and dad are you know, something about it hit me. And so what you're saying, I'm tying these together of like, yes, I don't know, Paul. I don't know this couple that died, but like, it still gives me the creeps that we invest so much in death. Like the news loves tragedy. And so then they feed it to you. And then when you have any response, but so sad, people are like, it's like a pile on.
Everything you read, I feel like the human reaction for survival is like, what would I have done? How could I have saved myself in this situation? You read it and you think, what could I have done? And it's like, you know, the same reason I think people rubberneck when there's accidents. It's like, you want to see, wait, what happened? Like, well, you know, there must have been some way to not have this happen or something.
Right.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think about that too. It's like, somewhere there's the whole entire family of people that were at that wedding, and they're like, their life is forever changed.
Yes.
And someone's just like, hey, well, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. One kid on the internet, kids on the internet get to make fun of it. Idiots, they deserve it. That kind of stuff. And it's,
but also it's like, we are disproportionately invested in the internet. I mean, I also have so many friends that have just done some sort of fast, like, or left the internet. And
I've done it a few times.
Yeah.
It feels amazing.
Right. Like, if I didn't read this stuff every day, I wouldn't feel horrible every day.
Yeah. This morning I woke up, got a text about that shooting up north.
Yeah.
My dad's company, he flies in. It's next door to that. And not like I'm trying to be one of these guys, like, yeah, I used to know that guy. But it is weird in your brain that's like, oh, God, that's so close and weird. And it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's so consumable because I want to know that shit.
Yeah.
It sucks that I want to know it. Maybe that's it. I hate that I want to know.
Well, it's just also this, it's an attempt to feel you can control it. Like, well, maybe if I read all these facts, somehow I can avoid, you know, well, there was those movie theater shootings. Now it's like, I don't even like going to the movies anymore.
Well, yeah, we don't go.
Yeah. And when I do, I'm always like sitting in an aisle, and then I'm like, literally, I'll be like, but if they come in, the aisle will be the first place they would shoot.
Yep.
And should I sit in the back? And it's like, I mean, I'm thinking about this now in so many situations, or if it's like a big, you know, venue, performance venue, I'm like, where are the exits? Like, I just feel like, it's changing. But I don't know if that's bad. Maybe that's good to think that way.
Well, it's good to be aware of your surroundings, but I think it's bad. I think it's bad to be like, could I get shot at this concert? I think that fucking sucks. That's a reality.
Well, that's why, you know.
Let's end this on a high note.
We're going to get high?
Chelsea. I am so happy that you did this. I can't be. I'm so elated.
I feel like I should have had a coffee, but I just didn't have time.
It doesn't matter. Your second presence coffee. Your presence was amazing anyway. Whenever I see you, it brings a smile to my face. It was the best
Likewise.
Part of doing that movie.
I
saw you and I was like, I love seeing you every day. It made me so happy, because also sometimes when you do these movies that are indie and they're like, it's also hard because, and I'm not talking shit, it's just there's so much going on and it's not a huge production. So you just kind of have to like be available and show up when they might not need you, and you hang around for a long time and you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So at least we got to fuck around, which was like more than half of the fun of the movie.
I know. Well, I also just love like getting to know new funny people. Because, you know, when I'm reclusive, hiding from every danger I think exists in the world, I don't get to encounter new people as much. But it's just always so exciting to be like, oh, my God.
So fun.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I do this. When you're alone for a long chunk of time, mm-hmm. and you're alone, but you're not alone, you're with family. But when you are alone at your house, kind of like stuck at your house for a few days, do you talk to yourself ever?
Oh, God, yeah.
I do it so much.
But I also sing a lot.
Okay. Do you sing talk?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Any kind of like, me and my friend Sarai also does that. And so when we hang out, we both are like singing like 90% of the time.
The whole conversation is in
and
song.
And we're like cracking up.
Move the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes a big, I think my wife loathes when I do shit like that because
really?
I'm annoying. Because I'm annoying with it. I know I've gone over the point of when I should stop and to just keep riding the lightning until she's like, that's
she's
enough.
Like, maybe you should take a ninth trip to see your family.
I sing to my dog a lot.
Yeah.
I make up songs for her every single day.
I know. I used to do a lot with my dog too.
But they're so fun to sing to because they can't do anything about it. And they just have to sit and watch.
So funny.
Yeah, they just sit and watch you do it. Sure. Oh, look at her. Look at, she hates wearing shit. Put her in a Cubs jersey. She's fucking livid. Livid.
That looks a lot like my dog.
She was a rescue. We got her downtown.
How do you know her mix?
DNA player.
You did it?
Yeah, I did the DNA thing.
I kind of want to do it on.
Okay, I'll tell you, my dog's name is Cubby. Cubster. After That's the Chicago cute. Cubs. Yeah.
And so
I'm like a little boy when I talk about animals.
How's your podcast going, by the way?
You're on it. You're on it. And we're
gonna, how was Bobby Lee live?
Bobby was so fun. Bobby's my favorite, one of my favorite people like on earth.
Yeah.
And
do you guys hang out?
Yeah, sometimes, but he's hard. Bobby's in his own world.
Yeah.
Bobby does what Bobby wants to do.
Like what? So goes to Korean spas.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He does. I'm not saying that like off the cuff.
I like how quickly you got defensive on that.
Well, you went, whoa.
Whoa. No, he loves video games.
Yeah.
And he loves kicking it with
his girl.
His girl. Yeah. It's like, so when that consumes your life, what else is there? You know?
Does she play video games?
I think no way. I think no chance. She's like very cool. I want to tell you how appreciative I am that you did this for me. I know you're a busy Thanks. Woman and you've got a lot going on in your personal and your public life. And I'm so happy that you came to do my podcast with no roof.
Thank you.
There's no roof.
I know. One day you'll be in a space that holds sound.
Yeah.
But for now.
For now. Do your
like, I'm like, we talked like a so much industry shop and then so we what? Like started talking about like weird, like serious stuff.
People want to hear shit like that. What how else could it have gone? We were
it's
fun.
Like absurdist comedy.
Ooh, let's be weird.
Yeah.
Let's get weird. How about you do your typical sign off, the way you sign off everything. Do that and then we'll end on that.
I don't have that.
Come on, Chelsea. You know what you're doing when you sign off. Chelsea Peretti, thank you for coming. Goodbye.
Thanks. Whisk.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.